webcast it into the world.
Do you remember the moment that you saw yourself in God and God in you, and you were one with the universe and God and everybody?
Knowing the truth about the gospel.
You were one with the prostitutes and pimps and priests and kings, and there was nobody on earth that was better than you nor less than you.
That we are all righteous.
And no one on earth was any less in Christ than anyone else.
That's Mike Williams, and this is the Gospel Revolution. And now, here's Glenn Klein online.
Greetings, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Klein online. It's hump day, Wednesday, August 11th, 2010. The only August 11th to aught 10 in the history of the planet. Welcome in on this very busy midweek edition of GKO, coming to you live from Southern California via the studios of Tampa Bay, Florida, directly to the home offices of the Gospel Revolution, where the president and founder is ensconced, finally got his home back after about a week's time. Please welcome online the most holy reverend, Michael Williams. Michael!
Hey, Glenn. How's the weather in California?
It never rains in California. I'll tell you, man, my son Jake and I left Tampa to head out west as he's getting established in his new situation out here. On Thursday night, we arrived in Houston on Friday morning, where Kate and Jeff Benham were already visiting Michael and Jeff Robertson, of course, who stays there and is the administrator of the Gospel Revolution. And you had quite the full house for a few days.
We did. It was different, and it was very, very nice. We had, I actually stayed up till 3 o'clock in the morning one morning. And anybody who knows me knows that that just don't happen and hasn't happened in many, many, many years. I like going to bed. And so, when everybody else is partying and going and blowing, I'm the one saying, I'll see you guys in the morning. But it was just so good that I was sitting up one evening with Kate and Jeff, and we started discussing all things gospel. And the next thing we all knew was it was 3 o'clock in the morning. In fact, Kate asked Jeff, said, "Don't look at the clock. Tell me what time it is." He said, "It's about 12 o'clock." And she said, "No, it's 3. And he was speechless. And I had just looked up and saw the clock, but it did. Time just disappeared for us, and we all decided to retreat at 3 a.m. So,
well, ladies and gentlemen, it was an absolute spectacular time. Jeff and Kate, on the heels of producing their second album entitled You Are What You Have Been Looking For from Nashville, came to Houston. And as I said, Jake and I stopped in to Mike's establishment for the better part of 2 days, and the gospel that was shared, the fun that was had, the freedom was palpable, and it just was such a pleasant, fun, instructive time.
Mini convention is what we had going on here.
It was a mini convention. Now, Kate and Jeff are in Anaheim, California tonight, in Disneyland. And we're hoping to hear from them somewhere at the bottom of the hour. We're also hoping to hear from the Gospel Revolution Poet Laureate, Mr. Scott Johnson, talk about why our Alaska correspondent was a big part of this trip so far. And we want to hear from you, too. Our toll-free number is available. Sean is waiting in the Glenn Klein Online studio in Tampa Bay at 1-800-436-3260. That is toll-free number to call, 1-800-436-3260. 3260. So we've got a busy night ahead and a lot of good stuff. We do want to hear from you, and feel free to participate with any of your questions and comments. But before we hear from Scott, Mike, we've got a number of emails that have been queued up for a couple of weeks, and I do want to get to them. So we're going to rock and roll some emails, okay?
Awesome. Let's do it.
All right. This one comes from Christopher Reed. And Christopher Reed says, good afternoon, gentlemen. I was wondering if you guys had any advice for someone whose extended family is deep into Christendom. Feel comfortable around them during family gatherings. My wife's side of the family is comprised of pastors, youth ministers, church planters, and other churchgoers. Over the last few years, I've really been on a journey towards freedom, and it's even harder now to be around them. I've had a couple of conversations with a few of the women who, during the conversation, appeared to agree, but nevertheless, my words seem to have no effect. This last week, I watched as one member took pride in her iron-fisted authoritarian approach to child-raising. It pains me in my heart to watch and think about the effect the fear, manipulation, and performance paradigm has on the children. I know they think they are doing the right thing. And that's from Chris Reed. Doesn't tell us where he's calling from, or where he's writing from, rather. But thanks, Chris.
Yeah.
So how do you deal with him, Mike, when you feel... so out of place around an evangelical family?
Well, I think my first response after hearing that, I kind of playing this out in my mind as to what that's like, because we all very well know that family. That family exists in many corners of the earth. And if that were my place to have to do, I would just have to relinquish myself that there really is a hell.
that's not right.
Goodness gracious, that is a toughie. How do you survive something like that? What course do you take? Well, there would be several paths, that's for sure. You can keep your mouth shut and suffer in silence to keep the peace. Or you can match word for word what they're saying and offer your opinions and see where the daggers fall, because there will be falling daggers, that's for sure. To be able to share with you, Chris, exactly what to do is just not within me. I know when I've been in those situations myself, not particularly with family, but I have been around those situations, and even more so, you know, in a few years back rather than most recently. And you really do. You just have to decide at the moment, you know, what is this going to be for me? But the one thing that I do know is that you can rely on the comfort of the gospel. It's, you know, a lot of times it really does make the heart grow when you've got a severe comparison to the gospel, and that's a severe comparison. And the only thing that you can probably really walk away from that with when you are in those situations with your family is just a big sigh of thank you, Jesus, that none of that is true. You know, how would you handle it, Glenn?
Fair question. And I think that I'm going to take a cue from you in many situations. This is good advice. To avoid toxic situations as much as possible. But when you're in a situation where you'd like to be able to share with somebody, but they may not be interested or they may be opposed to what you have to share about the reconciliation of all, or whatever the case may be, it doesn't have to be about the gospel, it could be about anything,
right.
That if they are not asking questions and they are not asking your opinion, don't give it. It's not worth the aggravation. At some point, somebody may ask, at some point, you may feel so moved to share what's in your heart. But generally speaking, I've found, and this has been a hard-learned lesson, ladies and gentlemen, is that if they don't ask, don't tell, to quote a infamous military policy in the United States of America. It's Glenn Klein online. It is Webcast Wednesday. The Gospel Revolution is on roll, and we've got a lot to talk about tonight. And we have originating, of course, as we always do, from the Tampa Bay region, Michael Dixon. I'm in Southern California. And now online with us is the aforementioned Poet Laureate of the Gospel Revolution, our Alaska correspondent, Brother Scott Gelatin. Scott!
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, Scott. Good to hear you.
Hi, Mike. Thanks. Yeah, it's good to hear your voice as well.
Thank you.
Yep. And Scott, of course, was at the Gospel Revolution Convention, the second annual one in Houston, in November of 2009. And I wanted Scott to come, and we haven't talked to him for a while, but Scott did a presentation at the convention that was entitled "I Was a Teenage Faith Healer," and it was just tremendously performed and enunciated, telling his story about how he went from a teenage faith healer to understanding the gospel, and it was racked full of appropriate profanity in the face of the religious idiocy that he was facing. And as Jake and I drove, I turned him on to that particular CD, and he laughed his ass off. It was just tremendous. And then we played it for Kate and Jeff Benham in Houston, and of course they had the same reaction. And so I called Scott and told him how integral he had been on several people's journey, not only across the country but across the world. And we hadn't heard from Scott for a while. We were wondering how the heck he's doing, and he's getting ready back to go back to teaching in school. But how have you been doing, Scotty Joseph?
Hey, I've been doing pretty good. Getting ready to go back to school and start teaching tomorrow. And I thought I was going to get a free hot tub today. This pastor put an ad on Craigslist for a free hot tub, and I went over to his house to check it out, and I told him about the podcast, so he might be listening now. So every day's an adventure.
Oh, what's, awesome. What's his name?
His name is Dan. I don't know what his last name is, but we got to talking a little bit. He's like, "Oh, you're going to be on this radio show tonight." I'm like, "Yeah, it's a podcast," and you know, I was trying to explain to him a little bit about what the podcast is about. And I heard you and Mike talking earlier about, you know, don't ask, don't tell kind of policy.
Yeah.
And you know, I told him a little bit. You know, I mean, I said, "Look, what this is about? It's about getting saved from religion." And the idea that you always constantly have to get right with God, and, you know, you're saved by grace. And, you know, he listened to me, and he knows that we're saved by grace, but there needs
right.
to be some kind of response, you know. There needs to be some sort of something that you do on your end. And, you know, that's where I chose not to get into the debate, but just tell him, you know, I'm familiar with that debate, and I know what that debate's about. And then I finished looking at the hot tub and jumped in the car, and I thought, you know, 10, 15 years ago, I would have gotten into the debate with him and really, you know, maybe felt it was my duty or something to share the gospel. But I don't know, the gospel's worked so much into my heart that I don't feel that obligation anymore.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, is that a bad thing? And then when I heard you guys talking right as I got on, I thought, well, that's good. They're kind of feeling like I feel about that sometimes.
Yeah. Now, that was not always the case, Scott. When you first came of the gospel through one of Mike's teachings was that, you know, sin could no longer separate you from the love of God.
That's
you
right.
went on a tirade with your friends and your brother David, and you actually used to do things called church raids. Why don't you explain to the beautiful humans back in the day what a church raid was?
Sure, sure. Well, I had a, you know, cast of characters, and we were all pretty much under the law. We were in youth groups, and I think if there's any organization that's legalistic, it's got to be youth groups. For some reason, youth groups get really hit with legalism hardcore, you know. I mean, maybe adults just aren't as susceptible to it or what, but I was in plenty of youth groups, and I was in a college group that was also very legalistic. And so when I heard Mike's message about the fact that I was really saved, and I felt that salvation deep within my soul, I remember looking in the mirror with my brother, and right after I heard Mike's tapes, and Dave's like, look in the mirror, you know, you're actually saved. And I just saw it. I'm like, you know, everything that I've been wanting for my whole life, striving for the salvation, working for the salvation, it's finally happened. I am saved. And not only has it just happened now, but it's already happened throughout my entire life. But just this awareness that I was saved kept me awake for 2 days. I didn't sleep. I'm just so happy to be saved. And, of course, I was still worried, you know, am I going to sin now? What does this mean? You know, I'm no longer obligated to maintain my salvation. Am I going to suddenly become this terrible person? And so my brother and I continued to go to church. But the problem was, every time we'd go to church, the pastor would start saying what we have to do to get saved. And I just knew that I was already saved. And so my only response whenever I went to church was I would just start laughing uncontrollably. I couldn't stop myself from laughing, and I'd start laughing really loud. And so it was hard for me and my brother to take church seriously, but we were still so caught up in the habit of going to church, we wouldn't stop attending either. So there was just this confrontation that was going to happen. And I had a lot of friends that would also go to church with me, and as they began to feel the power of God's grace in their life, you'd go into a church and you'd hear somebody say, oh, if you want to get to know God, you have to get closer to God, and if you want to get closer to God, you need to become more holy. And before long, we'd start giggling and laughing and falling out of our chairs. And so then during praise and worship, we'd be pretending like to be really meek or to pretend to be very, humble before the Lord, when in fact we were just trying to make each other crack up. And, you know, we were in our early 20s, and so this was just kind of like a fun thing to do. But it became more and more of a rush to go to church and to have this experience with the legalist where they try to put you under the law, but you're so saved, you just can't get out from underneath it. And so one thing led to another, and before long, we're going to church in Star Wars costumes. We're going to church, getting kind of messed up before we go. I remember, you know, the little ladies dancing around, in their twirlies, and we, you know, join them out for a little dancing in front. If they did an altar call, we'd all go forward to get saved. And it was kind of like a Borat thing. And, of course, you know, I'd be concerned about the police or my job or any of these things. But are you getting a hum on your end? I'm wondering if, okay, I thought that might be me. So, you know, I'd be worried about the police or whatever. But even at that time, we were such fundamentalists that when we thought we were delivered from the law, I took that literally to mean, you know, I'm delivered not only from the law of Moses, but I'm delivered from the law of Illinois, and no evil can befall me, and no plague is going to come my way. And so I just was fearless. And we were fearless of the police. We were fearless of pastors. We were fearless of Christians. And we were just so excited to be free from the law and to celebrate this in front of other Christians. So that's kind of what the spirit of it was. And so when I gave my testimony at the conference in November, I talked about one of our episodes that we had at one of the church raids, and it was just kind of a fun to recall that. But I haven't done one recently. I think the last one I did, I was probably 33 or 34 years old, which is still kind of the old to be doing a church raid. But
so, Michael, I mean, you know, obviously Scott just told some stories about what he was doing with his friends after the gospel came into his heart, but now he's all about if they don't ask, we don't tell. So
yeah, well,
what do you make of that?
Well, let me tell you kind of what was going on my end back in these days when these guys were doing their church raids. I don't know, suddenly these boys belonged to me, because I started getting calls from everybody, these boys of yours. And it's like, what boys of mine? You know? and they were telling me, you need to stop these boys of yours, and you need to stop them. These are some of your boys, and blah, blah, blah. And
that's funny.
And I said, you know what? I said, I myself wouldn't do what they do, but I would never stop them in a million years. And
oh, what a great thing to have you say something like that. That's really just warm. Warms my heart.
And I stood up for my boys. You know, I told them, you know, this, they're doing what they feel they should do from their heart. And I don't know that we don't need some more church raids. You know, it probably won't be me, and probably won't be Scott. You know, maybe Jake. Who knows? Who's going to be doing this? But it does come to that point to where that I think that the power of the gospel for our hearts individually, there's just, you know, the only thing I can say is I wouldn't even call where Scott was to where he is now maturing even in the gospel. He's just expressing it differently now. He handles it differently because I wouldn't call somebody who chose to go do what Scott and the rest of the boys did immature. You just have to follow your heart. That's the thing, and that has worked for me throughout this journey, and to not try to calculate what someone else is doing and whether they should do it or not, but the strength of the gospel just has its own power to do with the heart as the heart needs. And I don't know what anybody's heart needs. I don't know what those people, I mean, I can't reach those people in those churches. If somebody's doing a church raid, I mean, I'll guarantee you that nobody has forgotten those things, and it's, held questions in their minds forever.
And I know, after one of those raids, you know, we'd talk to the kids that have felt disenfranchised from the church, and maybe they're smoking out in the parking lot or whatever with each other, and they would come up to us afterwards and want to talk to us and learn more about the gospel. So I know that we talked to different people and affected different people. So in one way, it was like a mission to proselytize, I suppose, but in another way, we were just having a lot of fun.
Yeah,
right.
It was a revolution, and it was the whole thing about a revolution that really inspired me and my brother to do these church raids, because it was grace, yeah, and it was a revolution, and it was just an exciting thing to be a part of this giant revolution. I mean, I guess in some way we felt like Martin Luther, you know, with the Catholic Church. It was just kind of a freeing experience. It was like a new reformation.
Absolutely.
And, I followed the scripture so closely. I was such a fundamentalist that I needed to know that I was saved according to what the scriptures said. And Michael just laid it out, scripture by scripture by scripture by scripture. And so then when I go to a fundamentalist church and they try to use scriptures to condemn me, I already knew what those scriptures meant. I already knew what the context was. And I couldn't help but blow up and explode.
Yeah.
Well, I think that the key is that what Michael said, it is critical. And this is what, I mean, we've had people on this radio program that were contemplating suicide.
Yeah.
And we told them the same thing that we would tell somebody considering getting married, somebody considering getting divorced, somebody
church
considering doing the church raid, somebody considering doing whatever, or not doing whatever. Follow your heart. And Michael,
yeah.
following a person's heart or following one's own heart doesn't mean that everything's going to turn out great. It's just that, what else are you going to follow?
No, that's exactly correct. And here's the thing, is that most of us don't follow our hearts. We go through our life reacting to something. And I tell you what, the empowerment of following your heart is a deliberate action. It is not a reaction. I think that is the biggest thing that has happened in my life in the gospel, is that you really stop reacting. That's why you can sit and listen to one of your cousins go on about something that you know is nonsense and you don't have to speak up, or if you want to go do a church raid or whatever. You know, the power of the gospel, this is a heart issue. And the whole difference between religion and Christianity, religion and the gospel on the other side, is that Christianity is a reactionary religion. It causes you to react. It teaches you to react. It never teaches you to take action from your own heart, because you can't take action from your own heart because you doubt your own heart all the time.
Mm-hmm.
What most people find once they start following their heart is that they are not evil. They are not these horrible people. Just see, the very first thing that came to Scott's mind because of his Christian training is, now that I'm out from under this, am I just going to become this wickedly vile person? And the thing that Scott found out is that's not him. And he gets to experience being the human being he is, not thinking he's doing it to gain favor with God or to avoid hell. What a powerful
Absolutely.
Thing to have in your life, to know that you are a good human being without questioning your motives for it.
Yeah, you know, the scripture that really stood out to me during that time was, you know, I knew I was righteous by God's grace. And so there was a scripture from the Psalms, you know, it talks about the steps of the righteous are ordered to the Lord.
Yeah.
And I just felt like, wow, you know, with this revelation of knowing that I'm saved and that nothing can take this away and that I am righteous before God, every step I take is ordered of the Lord. I mean,
yeah.
That was how intensely I felt about it. And trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not in your own ways, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. That scripture was interesting to me because I had always thought it was kind of a legalistic thing where you had to trust in God, and if you don't trust in God, your paths won't be made straight. But when I understood it through grace, the foundation, the meat, I saw that what was really happening here is that God is giving me the desires that I have in my heart. Anyway, that's how I interpreted it at the time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just felt completely confident in everything that I was doing, because I just felt like there was nothing that I could do to lose my favor with God. And it was just such a powerful feeling to feel that way.
It's very empowering, for sure. It's very empowering. And of course, when you come to the reality of the gospel and you realize that there is really, when it comes to God and you, there is no difference. So even if it's, you can't even get in and undo, is this God or is this me? It's just because there is no difference between the two. Your heart and God are one. You and God are one. So regardless of what your path is, it is ordered of the Lord. If you make the decision, it is ordered of the Lord. You can't be out of God's will. You can't take the wrong path. You can't go the wrong way. It is virtually not possible to go the wrong way.
You cannot be out of the favor of God. It is not
absolutely
possible.
That takes faith.
That's what really takes faith, is to believe that. To believe that you're always within God's will, to believe that your steps are always being ordered to the Lord, to believing that you're always righteous. I mean, so much of what we get when we go to church is teaching on sin, how we're not righteous, how we're not right before God. And what I learned when I understood the gospel was that all of that teaching was really of no benefit to me.
No.
Because the main thing that I needed to learn was that I was right with God, that everything is okay, and that I can trust that it's been taken care of. And to have faith now means to believe that I truly am righteous before God. Not that I have to do something to become holy, or that somehow I have to dodge this sin or dodge that sin, but it takes a lot of faith to believe that your steps are being ordered of the Lord.
Yeah, doctrines in Christianity, really what it does is it compartmentalizes the heart and mind. because, see, these things can't cross each other. So you have a righteousness compartment, you have a sin compartment, you have a public life compartment, you have a prayer compartment. It is all your life is completely, everything is segregated from another part of your heart. And what the gospel does is wipe out all of those walls, and all of those things become just one thing. It's just you. It's not a, these are not separate issues. And when your heart and your mind is compartmentalized like that, you have to develop a completely different psychology for each one, which basically is schizophrenia. You have to develop a separate psychology for sin, a psychology for righteousness, a psychology for church life, a psychology for your social life. All of these things are different, and you literally almost develop multiple personalities out of this stuff.
But I think
the most powerful thing for me was that I'm not compartmentalized anymore. It's not my sexuality and my spirituality and my social life. I am one human being, and I'm loving it.
Yeah, it's like when they would use terms like you're in the flesh, or that's your spirit man talking, or that's your soul, and kind of like compartmentalizing the human personality into these three aspects, as if sometimes your actions are based on your flesh, and sometimes your actions are based on your spirit. Well, your spirit's saved, but your flesh isn't, you know, and all that.
Yeah, it's a bunch of crap.
Yeah. It's a
we're up against the clock, but listen, don't be such a stranger, okay? We want to hear from you more often.
Right on. Well, thanks for inviting me to call in, and I enjoy hearing from both of you. I'll talk to you later.
Thanks, Scott.
Right,
we love
your,
you a lot.
Your CD
okay,
is on the
guys.
Way, my brother.
Bye-bye. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
All right, there is Scott Johnson from Anchorage, Alaska. We'll be talking more with and about Scott on future episodes of Glenn Klein Online. This is the aforementioned GKO webcast. We are waiting to hear from Kate and Jeff Benham is who we're waiting on. And we hope to hear from you too tonight. This is Glenn Klein Online on the Gospel Revolution Radio Network.
What do you want to do? What's your heart say? How many people have wound up married because it was supposed to be the will of God? These are the things that you're all upset about. What would you like to accomplish, regardless of what age you are? Do you know how many people's lives have been paralyzed by sitting back waiting to figure out what the will of God was for their lives? I hate that doctrine. I absolutely detest it. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul.
That was just a sample of what Mike Williams said when he spoke at the 3rd Annual Gospel Revolution Convention in Calgary. Mike taught the book of Romans verse by verse from beginning to end, and you will never hear Paul's letter to the Romans taught like this. Connie Nelson told me after attending the convention that it changed her life and she will never see the Bible the same way again. Vic Dobrynin called it groundbreaking stuff, and David Dwyer of Brisbane, Australia said it felt like he had just been through a 10-hour detox program. This 11-hour series entitled The Book of Romans Revealed is available on audio CDs for $88 plus shipping and handling, or you can download it right now for just $44 at gospelrevolution.com. You have to hear it if you're going to believe it.
I love that.
I do too.
Robert Moore with another fantastic production of volunteering for this Gospel Revolution.
You have to hear it if you're going to believe it.
11-hour CD series, The Book of Romans Revealed. And I love what he said at the end there.
You have to hear it if you're going to believe it. Yeah.
If there's anything that encompasses the importance of meditating and contemplating the gospel, it's that statement.
Yes.
You have got to hear it
if you're going to believe it.
You've got to hear it for it to have its saving
effect on the human heart and soul, the stabilizing effect to produce peace in one's heart. That's just how it is.
Amen, brother.
Good preaching, Robert. This is Squat Klein Online. Wednesday night, we're waiting on Kate and Jeff Benham from the Magic Kingdom. They might be just in the middle of the Pirates of the Caribbean or something.
Yeah.
Oh, they're on.
Hey.
Well, there they are. Coming live from the Magic Kingdom in Anaheim, California. Who do I have, Kate or Jeff?
Hello, it's Kate here.
It is Kate. How are you, Kate?
Hello, I'm great. How are you?
Hey, Kate. I miss you, dear.
Hey, Mike. I miss you, too.
All right, so have they had the big parade yet? You know, the big parade down Main Street?
No. Something happened while we were on a ride or while we were somewhere else, so I think we missed something. But, yeah, and then we've left. We've just come back to our room for a little while, and then we're going to pop back in later. So, yeah, so we're in our room at the moment.
So is this your first time at a Disney theme park?
Yes, it is. So we
and
have had a great
what
day.
Is your impression?
Well, really loved it. I've taken heaps of video and pictures of everything and bought everyone souvenirs. So, yeah, we've had a great day, and it's been lovely weather here. Nice and warm, and a nice breeze, so perfect.
Well, did you hear that Mickey and Minnie Mouse are getting a divorce?
Are they?
Yeah.
After so long,
because
too.
Minnie is effing goofy.
Oh, really?
That's an
no,
oldie, but
I hadn't heard.
So Jeff and Kate go from Nashville to Houston, spend a week with Mike. Had never met Mike other than via the teaching and and on a telephone. And describe to the beautiful humans, Kate, the experience of being in Houston with Mike at his home and with Jeff and just how that all was.
Oh, yeah, it was just the most wonderful week of our lives, really. It was just wonderful, and just to sit there and talk, and just whenever we got on the topic of the gospel, which was basically the whole time, just a wonderful revelation came out from us all, just from sharing, and it was just the best time, and we did lots of fun stuff, and it was just so great just to be together.
So, during Jake's and my time there with you guys,
mm-hmm.
obviously, we had a lot of fun, but you shared a song from your coming album, not the one that you just recorded in Nashville, about the institutional church and some of the things that were in your heart. Do you remember what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Do you have the words memorized? You seem like you had the words memorized last week. Could you share some with the audience?
Yeah, well, I started writing a song which is about the whole system of religion coming down, you know, and the people coming out and being free. And then as it went on and as we were doing as I was listening to the webcast and stuff, and you had that one about the abuse from the Catholic Church of the children, well, the song kind of has turned in that direction. So it will be it'll be a bold song, about the children coming out now.
Yeah, well, could you share some of the verses with the folks?
Let me think now. Okay. Well, I'm not too sure actually of which way I'm going to go with it. There's some lines still that I'm not too sure on. I might like to just wait a little while, if I could. I'm sorry, until I'm definitely sure of what I'm doing there.
I'm heartbroken.
Sorry?
Okay. I said I'm heartbroken.
Oh.
No, just kidding, Kate. Where are you? Where are you right now?
Sorry. We're just back in our room, so we're not far from Disneyland. We're just across the road, really, and we've just been walking around all day, so we thought we'd just come back and give you a call from our room instead of trying to find a quiet place over there.
Oh, beautiful. So you are in Anaheim,
okay,
and you have re-entry into the park?
Yeah, we do.
and there'll be fireworks tonight. And I'm not talking about when you and Jeff get back to the room. I'm talking about actually in the park. There will be fireworks tonight.
Oh, maybe. Would you like to speak to Jeff? He's here too. This line is really
so, Michael,
a little bit.
Most impressive things about Jeff and Kate, other than just their incredible humor and personality, was just how into the gospel they were. I mean, that was one of the most refreshing things about our time with them.
Yeah, absolutely. With Jeff and Kate both, which I think Jeff's on the line now. But yeah, it was. It's nice to see a couple together who this is not an issue for one, and the other one, you know, embraces the gospel. So they're very blessed to have one another, and especially in the having the heart of the gospel together, for sure.
No doubt, and so many of our listeners who have, like we were talking about Chris's letter earlier in the program, whether they have family members or spouses who just are not in line with an understanding of the gospel, it's tough. But Jeff Benham is online with us and from Anaheim, California, as they travel all across the United States of America. It's nice to have a woman who understands the gospel, isn't it, Jeff?
Yes, it is. It's so fantastic, and it's like starting on top of a mountain instead of looking up to a mountain. That's what's so good about it. And it's freeing, and it's good, really good. But today she led me down the garden path at Disneyland, though. Kate tends to like all those weird rides, and I'd rather hang upside down and stick two fingers down my throat, not to get a technical yawn, to be the same thing. Even went on to Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Then she tried to tell me it was Jesus and the Seven Disciples, and I just got a, that was it.
That was not right. That was not right at all. What are your impressions generally of the United States and the Americans that you've come across?
We're really good, actually. And everywhere we've gone, we've had been able to talk to people pretty freely. I'm not saying weird to you guys, but even though I see America as such a divided. Well, look at as far as churches go, no one knows anyone. Like there's little patches of churches here that are all in one community. There's another patch over there, but we kind of living in Australia. We've kind of met a whole lot of patches, but they don't know each other. But so hopefully we can get to go and see a lot of those people. But also we've got a real heart for the ones and the twos that are all across America and Canada that just no real fellowship and just enduring by themselves and trying to, you know, let the gospel work in their lives. And that's who we've got a heart for, Kate and I. We'd love to meet up with, we said we'd love to do a just tour around and visit all those people. It'd be a wonderful thing.
Well, Michael, apparently that may be in the offing in the future.
Yeah, we went out to breakfast the last morning. I really wanted to spend some time with them because I had some things in my heart I wanted to share with them and some possibilities. So, there's some things that really felt good to them, and they were excited about some thoughts that I had about getting them around through Canada and the U.S., possibly even next year. And if all these things work out right on their part and on the parts of a lot of other people, we may be having some really good stuff to announce for next year's agenda for the Gospel Revolution. And I can't tell you how much it thrills me to be sending the possibility even of sending somebody else out instead of it just being me. And believe me, that is an exciting turn of events for me. And I think that everyone would enjoy Jeff and Kate just personally, much less the incredible talent and ability that Kate has to articulate the gospel through song. It's been an amazing thing for me. When I first got here, we got to be the first ones to hear the album. In fact, we heard it with them the first time. They had never heard the album itself, or the CD, and so we sat down and listened to it all the way through, and it's just amazing to hear those words come out in song. And it's like this is the first time in my entire life I have heard the pure gospel in song ever in my life. And let me say this also: the Kate's first CD was fantastic, as everybody knows. I've raved about it, and we've got it out to as many people as we could, and still are promoting it. But this new one totally eclipses the first one. Totally eclipses it in every way. The strength of Kate's voice, the lyrics, the power of the music. It really does. It just completely eclipses the first one. And I am sure that even the next one will do the very same thing for sure.
Well, Jeff, when are you guys in country still?
We go home on Saturday.
All right, we've got dinner scheduled with our Southern California correspondent, Richard Mull, tomorrow night.
Oh, we can't wait for that. I'm really looking forward to meeting Richard and his wife. It'd be great.
Oh, absolutely. It's one of the great human beings on the planet right there, Mr. Richard Mull.
Yeah,
and his wife, Eva. And... Where are you guys flying out of?
LA International. Is that what it's called? I think it is, yeah.
LAX. Well, I'll talk to you guys hopefully soon. Before you leave, because I might be up that way, I'd like to see you guys again if possible.
Yeah, that'd be good if we can. It'd be good to catch up with as many people as we can. We caught up with a person, which I think was last night. I can't remember where they were. They were right up in the hills somewhere, and we had a wonderful Karen Butler, and we had a wonderful time with her, and it was and a family up there. That was a fantastic night.
Well, listen, let me talk to Kate again, and please stay in touch and safe travels, brother.
Okay, see you guys.
Thanks, Jeff. All right. Love you.
Hello, I'm back again.
Kate Batham, ladies and gentlemen, the artist and the author of the new music CD, You Are What You Have Been Looking For. So we were honored, Jake and I were honored to receive a CD from you so that we could listen to it from Houston all the way to Southern California. I wore that thing out, I gotta tell you.
Ah, thanks. It's kind of diverse, isn't it?
I loved it.
Yeah.
But we want to play for everybody.
Good.
Just hold on, Kate, because we want everybody to hear one of the songs from the new album that was just produced in Nashville that will be available via gospelrevolution.com. I think we settled on Welcome to Freedom, didn't we?
Yes, that's right.
All right, so Sean, fire it away. This is Welcome to Freedom, Kate Benham, on a Wednesday night Gospel Revolution webcast.
In the twinkling of my eye, I was changed. Sure was hot in that lake of fire where my soul got rearranged. Bubbling liquid gold. fountain of youth I have found. It is the river of grace I'm in. Drink and know that you are okay, and know that you and God have always been one. Knowledge has passed away, now that truth has come. I never felt like this before, conceivable anymore. Now the spirit of life is my law. Is this what I've been waiting for? I hear, welcome to freedom. Welcome to freedom. Well, I would have sworn I was free before, but this is what I've been waiting for. Welcome to freedom. This is what I've been waiting for, what I've been waiting for.
8 minutes before the hour on a Wednesday night. Glenn Klein online doing my best DJ imitation. Kate Benham, the artiste. That was that's good stuff, Kate. Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you. Thank you.
Listen, I am going to be in the Los Angeles, California area on Friday, I think.
What was that? I'm sorry?
Please call me on my cell phone if you would like to get together with Jake and me.
All righty.
All right.
We'll do that.
Enjoy the rest of your evening in the Magic Kingdom.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kate.
Thank you, we will.
Good night.
Good night.
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 That sounds like a tired gospel revolutionary right there. They have been hitting it hard. I mean, they have been traveling nonstop since they arrived in Tampa.
Yeah, it's been a whirlwind for them. For
sure. I mean, it's hard to believe that George and Bonnie Howell and Kate and Jeff and Dawn and me had dinner. It was 3 weeks ago tonight. Or was it 2 weeks ago? No, 2 weeks ago tonight.
Yeah.
Incredible.
The last night they worked on the new CD there in Nashville at the studios in Nashville. They were in the studio until 5 a.m. and they left the studio and went and packed their clothes, caught the plane, came down here, and they were up here until we were up until about 1 o'clock in the morning talking about the gospel. Kate was so excited she could not unwind, I don't think.
She said it was the best week of her life. She said it kind of matter-of-factly. I know they're fatigued. Anybody that ever, even if they're going into and spending a day at Disneyland, at Disney World,
I
said that spending a week with you guys is the best week of their lives.
Yeah.
I know what she means. I believe she meant that with all of her heart.
Yeah, it's very heartwarming and humbling to hear someone say something like that. But I do believe her. To know this couple's passion for the gospel and to hear their story. Jeff is just he is one of the warmest, most insightful people that I've ever met. I had them to explain their story to me because I was really kind of unsure. You know, Jeff stood up and proclaimed the gospel in 1974.
Yeah.
And, then this woman got up and prophesied about how that he was, you know, this was of the devil and all of this. And, he never broached the subject again. In fact, it so shook him so badly that this woman prophesied against him. That he could not even read the verses in the Bible that would indicate such a thing. He said it was like he was blinded to them. Well, then Kate gets involved in the gospel just 3 years ago and starts listening to the CDs and becomes aware of the gospel. And that's when he's pastoring a church. And that's when she starts introducing the gospel to him again. And all of this began to come back to him of his experience that he had in 1974 of this powerful revelation of the redemption of the world, and had the audacity to stand up and share it at a church group, and then was prophesied against as that he and it were of the devil. And then, of course, like I said, Kate began to bring this back to his attention again. What a wonderful evolution that was for Jeff and for Kate, for them to come full circle on this whole thing 3 years ago. And then to have them here in my home was after this Jeff's revival of the gospel and continued learning in the gospel, and Kate's understanding of the gospel, and of course having it so clear in her heart, she's producing CDs about it. And then to have them here in my home was just an absolute honor. It was an honor and a privilege, and I can't wait to have that privilege again, for sure.
Well, I'm sure you will. This is Glenn Klein online. That's Michael Williams, Gospel Revolution Wednesday, coming down to it. We've still got a few moments left. If you want to get in, the lines are available to you at 1-800-436-3260. I've got another email to get to. Actually, we've got a couple of emails to get to. I'm going to ask for Jennifer Bradham's forbearance. We'll get to your question, Jennifer, hopefully next week. We're coming up against the clock, but I did want to get to this question. Which is fairly appropriate, I think. I like it. It's from Leon Jones. But by the way, as I said, call Sean, and he'll get you online here in the next couple minutes. 1-800-436-3260. If you're listening live, and it's a couple minutes before 10 o'clock on the East Coast of the USA, that you're listening live, and that is your cue to give us a call here at 1-800-436-3260. It is so bizarre, Michael, for me to be doing the webcast in sunlight, but because I am on the west coast of the United States.
That's right.
Oh, America. And now I have to sneeze. Hold on.
Bless you. We had to do that before those demons got back in.
You know how you look in the sun and it makes you sneeze?
That's what happens. Looking at the sun.
That is quality radio, ladies and gentlemen, live sneezing on the air. All right, this letter is from Leon Jones. He writes, "Hi, Glenn and Michael. I really enjoy listening to the broadcast always. I hear you guys using the word shit, damn, and ass in your talking, which I don't have a problem with, but my question is, when do those words become profane? Sometimes I feel like using them, but it bothers me and my mind, knowing that the law was nailed to the cross. What is registering in my mind? Is it better not to let it be heard and not to have me be using those words?" That's from Leon Jones. When do so-called cuss words become profane, Michael?
Well, I think it's more based on, you know, the of course the word profanity. They're really just Anglo-Saxon words. But society does label certain things as profanity. And so it's really basically what environment you're in, as to whether or not you know, there's places where that it feels appropriate, moments that it feels appropriate, and there's moments that the very same words don't feel appropriate. It's strictly a social issue, but it is an issue, and so everybody has to work this stuff out for where they are. I think the little stuff that I use occasionally, I think I'm just there's part of it. It's just you know, you want to be free to say those things. But I think a lot of times for me, I'm also wanting people to be able to grasp that these things are not separated from spirituality, that you can say something like that and not have to, quote, depart from your spirituality or making a comment about the gospel. But the fact of it is that society is geared toward these things. And so my heart is to be very gentle with these things and to make sure that it's, you know, if it's comfortable with my heart, that's the only thing I can say. If I feel it's comfortable with my heart, that's where I go. So,
good answer. The thing that I would say, Leon, is that these words are judged by certain people to be swear words or profane. We will drop a shit or a damn or a hell or an ass. These are actually acceptable on broadcast media now, in the United States at least. And but the Mickey and Minnie Mouse joke, the effing wasn't the actual word that's in the joke, but the I edited it myself, so it would be a little bit more acceptable to the general radio populace. And that's our heart. I mean, we're just following our heart. You know, it's amazing. I mean, there are some comedians that are on cable television or on HBO, whatever. I mean, they're using the F word and the N word every 10 seconds. But if you see them on a Tonight Show or on the David Letterman show, they never swear. Why? Because it's not acceptable. It's not appropriate. So use your own judgment. Know this, that no matter what words you do or do not use, God is not judging you at all. Not one iota.
One thing, Glenn, I want to clarify about it is the term curse word. That should not be used to describe any word whatsoever, because you're using a scriptural term now, the term curse. To label all of these things as, quote, curse words, again, you're taking a biblical term, a curse, and that's a whole different ball of wax when you start talking about cursing. You know,
right, and also when you're talking about using God's name in vain.
Yes.
That is a great discussion for another program.
Yeah,
but
sure.
Leon, thank you so much for writing. We hope to continue to listen. Let us hear from you at any time. All you beautiful humans can reach us 24/7 at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. Well, Jeff Robertson must have been listening a little bit on delay because I got a Gesundheit response on my email about 5 minutes after I sneezed, but I still appreciate it. But I do have to go blow my nose now, Michael.
All right, let's take care of business.
So it's time to go. Thank you. I love you.
Thank you, Glenn. Love you, too.
And I want to thank Scott Johnson for calling in from Anchorage.
Yes, thank you, Scott.
Jeff and Kate Benham in Anaheim, California. Chris Freed and Leon Jones for writing. And, oh, by the way, Marcel Roos in the Netherlands. We'll get to your email hopefully next week. And I want to thank Sean O'Halloran, the producer, engineer, and call screener.
I might say that Sean did an excellent
job. Jeff Robinson is the administrator of the Gospel Revolution. Until next time, this is Glenn Klein Online saying, Shalom, everybody.